Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another edition of Plank of the Week. I've got the plank here, and of course we award it at the end of the show to the person who has been the biggest plank of this particular week. And I have to say, this week there are even more people to look at than there have been for a while. I'm delighted to say, once again, Dawn Neeson is with me. Kevin O'Sullivan, of course, as well. This is turning into a bit of a regular thing. I mean, people are quite enjoying the fact that it's the same people all the time. Apart from all the people who used to do it with me, of course, who are all complaining that they want to be back on.
Well, you've
on.
Got the dream team.
I have.
Would you go anywhere else?
Why would you go,
why would you go anywhere
best?
Else? Now, I can't remember who started off last week. I think it was Kevin. So I think, Dawn, you should kick us off this
well,
week.
Well, you never start, though, do you?
No, I never do. Do you want me to start?
Do you think you should?
No, I think it should be you. Okay. Ladies
okay.
first.
You should
let's be old-fashioned and gallant.
Lady. Right, OK. I think I'm going to win straight away.
Do
boys.
You?
Sorry, just give up.
Right, let's go home then.
Give up. Just give up now. I'm going to go straight in with a bit of royal twittery.
Yes.
This is going to be Mike Tindall.
Mike Tindall,
Mike
yes.
Tindall. Okay, so if ever proof were needed that we're all in this COVID mess together.
Yes.
Mike Tindall has just proved without doubt that we are not.
Yes.
He,
tell us why.
Well, shall I?
Go on.
Well, absolutely.
Go for it.
Right, okay. Well, he has been claiming, he's a multi-millionaire, right? He's worth 15.7 million. He's the fourth richest rugby player in the world.
How
he's
does
married.
That work?
To, I don't
why is he worth 15.7 million?
No, but he is, all right. I'd start already.
Because he's married into the royal family.
Exactly. Any case.
Cash cow.
So he's married to the Queen's granddaughter, lives in a nice house, da 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 da. And he has been claiming furlough.
I know.
He's been claiming solo. He runs a public speaking company, right?
Yeah. But the events company that he runs is only really for one event, and that's him.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that does the public speaking.
It's only claiming for one employee, and
yes.
the only employee is Mike Tindall.
Yes, exactly right. So technically speaking, when he says that he's claiming furlough but he's not getting it, that's a bit confusing, isn't it?
It's like, look, he's not alone. I do realise
and it's not illegal, right?
No, it's not illegal. Morally, it's completely and utterly bankrupt, by
yes.
the way, but it's not illegal. You know, and you know, Guy Ritchie's done it. Jamie Oliver's done it. Gordon yep. Ramsay's done it. So he's not on his
Steve
own.
Coogan.
Steve Coogan's done it.
Put his gardener on furlough.
Stella McCartney. She yep. must be short of Hugh Bob, mustn't she?
Absolutely. Right.
So they've all done it. But honorary exception, Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
Who has got his staff standing back when the pubby runs.
Right.
And he's paying them out of his
and
own
he's
pocket.
Paying them. This is also a guy, by the way, who paid £28 million in tax last year. So you've got to take your hat off to Ed Sheeran.
You know, absolutely.
He's the complete
well, no.
opposite.
Stop making yeah. records and that, then we'll all be happy.
Yeah.
Then,
he's,
we?
Well, of course, Kevin would have to introduce a note of bitterness to the proceedings. But, you know, you've got to give the guy credit where it's due. He's not running away
yeah, no,
to not pay his taxes.
No, absolutely. And Simon Cowell, to be fair,
yeah.
which is really hard, to be fair, Simon Cowell. Sorry, Simon, if you're
listening. No, I think Simon Cowell's a good guy as well.
Absolutely, but he is doing the same thing and he's had a go at all these very, very rich celebrities who are claiming fellow. Because let's not forget, this isn't the government's money. Everyone's thinking, oh, it's the government's
yeah.
money, it doesn't matter. It's not.
Yeah, it's our money.
It's our money.
Yes.
Taxpayers' money.
And there are far more people and more deserving than Tindall who are not getting it.
No.
Because their company doesn't qualify.
Well, exactly. There's about 4 million people, I think, who have fallen through those mysterious cracks
yes.
because they're self-employed, running small companies,
right.
who can't claim anything. And
I know.
These are people, very small companies, not married to millionaire granddaughters of royalty, etc., etc. And you know what? The total cost is expected to be 50 billion in furlough.
I know.
That we're paying out.
It's extraordinary.
50 billion.
Absolutely extraordinary. And there's no guarantee that some of those people who, when they finish getting the furlough money, are not just going to be made redundant, because
well,
if they're working for companies...
guarantee. They are guaranteed to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
If you've been a whole year and your employers haven't required your services, you can rest assured they're not going to require them back.
Yeah.
That when this furlough
scheme
ends...
when you've forgotten how to do whatever it is you're supposed to do.
Yeah, when this furlough scheme ends, there will be 2 million people instantly unemployed, and that's why Rishi Sunak keeps kicking the can down the road, because he's terrified to lift it.
Well, yeah. End of April, end of May. And
by the way, I think Rishi Sunak's wife also furloughed some people, didn't she? And I think
she
that,
is a billionaire.
I know she
is.
She's one of the richest women in the world.
Oh.
But there's obviously a problem with the system, isn't there?
But there is a huge problem with this system. Look, in theory, furlough is a good scheme. If it's
not anymore, it's not. And I don't think it has been a good scheme for a long time.
If it's
been, it's put this country into a state of fantasy.
Well, that's
that
true.
We don't understand
how bad what is going on actually is. But it's better to have people earning money rather than actually getting benefits.
Should have cancelled it ages ago.
Mm. Yeah, but there are a lot of people depending on it, and Kevin, a lot of people.
Well, yeah, but then they'll get used to reality. There's no point in putting them into a false.
No, but
this is a fool's paradise.
Yeah, but it's not their fault they can't work. So therefore,
starving on the street.
I know. I mean, this is the bloke who used to work with Matthew.
Well, if we didn't do this, well, you know, you don't have to believe everything that Matthew Wright believes, to say the least.
Or
indeed anything he believes.
No, I know. Absolutely.
Any
he
case,
doesn't even believe it.
Mike Tindall is my right royal plank.
I think that's very good. Kevin, let's have your first one.
He's a kind of a friend of mine, but he probably won't be after this. It's the editor of the Daily Express, Gary Jones.
Yeah, we all know Gary Jones.
You know, he's a good bloke, old Gary, but he's had a moment of absolute insanity.
Former colleague of ours from the Daily Mirror.
Worked with him at the Daily Mirror, like him a lot and all that, but he has had a moment of journalistic insanity. So I want to preface this by saying I'm only criticising him professionally, not as a human
quite
being.
Quite right.
I hope we remain friends after this.
Good luck with that.
If we don't, what the hell?
He might pick on you and run a nasty tabloid campaign.
Well, that's all right.
You.
Nobody reads the Daily Express, and even fewer people are going to read the Daily Express after
this. I like
this.
The Daily Express.
Daily
I used to work for
better.
Them.
The Daily Star's better.
It's what the Daily Mail would be like if it didn't have any money or journalists. So the Daily Express, under Gary's auspices, has suddenly become green. So this week by stunning its handful of remaining readers by telling them, well, this is now a manically green
the
newspaper.
The green revolution.
It is devoted to climate change.
Yes.
We'll still keep churning out these newspapers on paper.
Yeah.
We'll still keep burning resources by being online. But we're going to be terribly, terribly green.
Yes.
The thing about the media is know your audience. And Gary doesn't seem to know his readers. He doesn't seem to know what they're about.
Well,
there
is a chance
about
that he's
change.
Right and you're wrong, though, isn't there?
Well, maybe he's trying to grow it.
There is no chance that he's right and I'm wrong.
But there was, though.
Look, I've been around in journalism longer than he is. I know he's making a massive mistake.
Well, all right.
And also, I don't like this nonsense of ostensibly intelligent journalists buying into this absolute rubbish about us being in a climate emergency.
Yes.
We are not
I'm with you
in
on
a
that.
Climate emergency.
I'm with you on that. However, there's a lot of people who think we are, right? And one of the problems that we find, and you'll have seen this if you looked at the paper that day, is they had a whole series of polling that they did. All of which had 66% of the people saying we want to do something about the climate emergency.
And how does Gary see the newspaper going forward? I mean, when there's new Extinction Rebellion revolts, will the Daily Express think, go on, block the London bridges?
Maybe.
You know, what's it going to say at the next election? Vote communist.
Greta
you
know,
Thunberg. But I tell you, Gary, if you're watching Gary, within 6 months you're going to have about six readers if you're lucky. This is a massive mistake, and it is buying into the biggest lie that we are being subjected to, and that is that we are in a climate change emergency. Emergencies don't take 30 years to happen.
No, that's true, very true.
Rubbish.
But he only means it as very genial advice, though, of course, Gary, so don't take it too seriously.
And can I just say...
I'll buy you a drink, Gary.
Yeah, you work for the Daily Star.
Can I just say, as a matter of balance, there is one very, very, very good newspaper in that particular newspaper group.
Daily Mirror, right? Good columnists. Really good columnists.
They're all the same company now, aren't they?
They're all the same company, but the sister paper, the Daily Star, is particularly good. Great fun. Laugh every day. Great columnists on a Wednesday.
Also, a great columnist on Wednesday.
Also, I'm going to say that I quite like the Daily Express because they, above all else, do an awful lot of stories about me, quoting me, listening to my radio show. So I'm all for them, to be honest. So
but it won't
up.
Be now after you just had well, a go at the Green
maybe that'll
Revolution.
Change. Maybe that will change.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, time for my first person this week, and it is Shadow Attorney General Lord Falconer. Now, I don't know whether you spotted this, but it was a pickup from the Mail on Sunday at the weekend, which then got more legs in the Evening Standard. He basically got up in front of a group of lawyers and made a little speech in which he said these words about the coronavirus. Right? This is a gift that keeps on giving. Now, we all know what he means,
cheers,
right?
Charlie.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Charlie. We all know that my Lord Falconer is a decent guy. I've had him in
he's
the tent
right,
of common
Charlie,
sense.
Yeah.
I quite like
yeah.
him, right? He was basically talking about how the law keeps changing and keeps getting more complicated and therefore more interesting because lawyers are a bit weird. They're
yeah,
a bit
and
like
it's
sort
good because lawyers can make money out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, what he means is lawyers can make much more money out of it.
What we're doing is paraphrasing the however many deaths we're actually at. What is it, 43,000? I can't remember.
I think it's 120.
But lawyers can make money out of it. It's basically what he was saying.
Yeah. The thing I always like about Lord Falconer stories is that they always have this paragraph in them where it says, Lord Falconer, a friend and former flatmate of former Prime Minister Tony Blair.
Tony Blair, I know.
Which never helps him out, really,
no.
does it?
No. I mean, it's going
one of those
to, is
things
it?
That, you know.
Yeah, that guy done off hanging on in there, doesn't he? I mean, every Labour leader he's managed to secure a big job with.
Ed Miliband, of course, unfortunately for my Lord Falconer, was on Andrew Marr on Sunday morning and was asked about it. And he said this. He said, he's very, very sorry for his choice of words. Mm. It was a very poor choice of words. I've spoken to Charlie this morning, and he is very, very sorry and apologises for what he did. What was it got to do with Ed Miliband?
Well,
I know Ed Miliband has got some kind of nebulous role now in the shadow cabinet. But, I mean,
who
cares what he
Ed,
thinks?
Would that be the same Ed Miliband who, during the run-up to the election that he lost against Cameron, was quoted secretly as saying, we're going to weaponise the NHS?
That's
this
right.
Yeah, that'll be
this
the same
is the
one,
trouble
then.
With Labour. Mm. That, you know, it's like Keir Starmer saying, oh, let's all dress in Union Jack suits and con the patriots in this country. It always comes across as
they
so
don't get it right,
cynically trying to manipulate.
Do you remember the Ed Stone, which he launched?
Oh, the Ed Stone.
He had this stone made up with like the Ten Commandments for the Labour Party.
Apparently, actually, had it made.
Yeah, had it made.
And it cost fortunes.
It disappeared, didn't it?
I think I've read that it's somewhere in a warehouse near Hastings.
God,
that was where he launched it, right? It'd be great to find it,
wouldn't
it?
Let's find the Ed Stone.
Ed Stone, what an absolute
shambles. That's another really bad move by Labour, isn't it? Let's bring back Ed Miliband.
A
symbol of utter failure.
I mean, next they'll bring Corbyn back and make him Shadow Foreign
exactly,
Secretary.
Exactly, why not?
Might as well. Right, Dawn, number two for you.
Number two, right. Oh my God, it's flying, isn't it? Right, I'm going to go religious now.
How are you?
Reverend Gerald Robinson Brown.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Lovely. He's a 29-year-old trainee vicar at the oldest church in the city of London, All Hallows by the Town. Beautiful, beautiful church. Any case, when we lost Captain Sir Tom last week, rest in peace, Gerald took it upon himself to tweet about the death of a national treasure. Mm. Everybody loved Captain Tom. Any case, Gerald, a vicar, tweeted, "The cult of Captain Tom is a cult of white British nationalism. I will offer prayers for the repose of his kind and generous soul, but I will not be joining the national clap." Remember, all urged to clap on the doorstep, which I personally wasn't that great with.
I didn't join
with.
The
in
national
case,
clap
no,
either,
I didn't.
But I didn't decide to but tweet I mean, out about white British nationalism.
Can I just ask a question? What's wrong with British nationalism?
Nothing.
Nothing.
But you can't be white and have British nationalism, or else that makes you some kind of racist.
We are mostly white in this country.
I don't actually care what colour we are, but why is race seen in everything now? Mm. absolutely everything. There's a race angle to it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and luckily, he thought better of it, didn't he? When he saw that everybody was actually thinking that was the most ridiculous thing they'd ever read on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he withdrew it, and he's now closed his Twitter account.
He has,
But by the way, some senior clerics have now come in defending him.
Have they?
And saying that this is unfair, that he tweeted a perfectly reasonable thing. So once again, this is the Church of England under that idiot Welby.
I know.
Proving that it does not understand the people of this country.
Well, this is...
doesn't seem to care about the people of this country.
No, it doesn't. Well, this is why they're down 200,000 worshippers in 5 years, and mainly because, you know, since Welby's been in charge, isn't it? Yeah. But, I mean, you know, the lovely Jarrell, you know, he's also got a book coming out.
Has he?
Funny that, isn't it? Yeah. And the book title is Black, Gay, British, Christian, Queer.
Yeah, that's not on my Christmas list.
No.
Yeah, that's a real page turner, isn't it?
By the way, that's the ending.
Let's shed a little tear for Justin Welby's passionate campaign to rid Canterbury Cathedral of all of its statues. He's been defeated. They're going to stay there.
Yeah. Well, actually,
leave the cathedral alone, you idiot!
I'm surprised they're trying to get rid of the cathedral.
But also, these are these people, right, who come in, the wokest. They come in and they decide that because they're in charge for a while, they can change absolutely everything. Mm. You know, I always say it's a bit like them. You know, the Archbishop of Canterbury's job is a bit like being the manager of Manchester United. You can't come in and just change everything and say, right, we're going to knock down the stadium, we're going to move Manchester United to, you know, Bedford, and we're going to be a different team in a different place. Yeah. They seem to think that they've got the full charge of the church. Well, they haven't. They're just custodians, aren't they?
No, it's just, I mean, it's obviously, you know, how out of touch with most people in the Church of England.
I know.
I mean, it's
It's like Welby and his gang are right out there in Wokeland, whereas the few remaining people who actually go to the Church of England churches are nothing like that.
No.
So, a bit like Gary Jones at the Daily Express, they don't know their own audience.
No, and as you've said many times, you really need to know your audience. And that is an appalling, and it was probably one of the most awful things as well. Can you imagine his family, Captain Tom,
reading that?
And you just think, you know, what sort of an idiot would write that kind of a tweet without thinking about it?
I don't understand the thought process. I don't want to understand the thought process. You know, Captain Tom did amazing things and he achieved so much in his life, and far more than Jarrell.
Yeah, and also, if you don't want to do something and you don't want to clap for something, just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
You don't have to tell everybody you're not doing it. You know what I mean?
No.
Kevin, let's have your number two.
Well, it's an old friend of the show, Femi Amawule. The obsessive Remainer who gave up all other forms of income to devote his entire life to appearing on TV and radio shows as a boring pundit.
Telling everybody, I studied EU law.
Yeah,
that was his big line, isn't it?
Yeah,
Dawn, of course, famously was in the studio with me when we had a little set two.
One of the greatest moments.
One of the greatest moments in Talk Radio's history. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a blank.
You know, the man with the world's most dubious American accent. He's from Darlington, isn't he, or something?
Yes.
Where did he get that American accent?
Yeah, Darlington.
Does he use that
Wisconsin
to sound unusual, do you think, at all?
Well, I don't know. I mean, but
you do not get an American accent from your parents.
No. Well, his parents,
as you know.
I know, exactly right. But I mean, the thing about Femi as well is that he appears to sort of lurch now from one cause to another, none of which are ever very successful. Yeah. And he's now lurched onto another one.
Yeah, well, I was about to just say, we're going to nominate him as Plank of the Week just because he exists. But the real reason, his latest atrocity, is to have joined and, in fact, become a leading light in this absurd campaign against the not yet even formed GB News.
Yes.
GB
Andrew
News.
Neil's brigade.
GB News is a new kind of Sky News type company, which is going to. It says it's going to produce unbiased news. Mm. Its kind of mission statement was to be perhaps right of centre in order to counteract the BBC and the increasingly lunatic left Sky News. And I thought it was a good idea. But it hasn't even hit the airwaves. It's only recruiting now. And Femi and his gang are out there saying, defund GB News.
Yes.
Do not advertise with this news service.
He's being helped and aided and abetted by Hope Not Hate, ridiculous organisation.
GB News hasn't done anything yet.
Well, I know. That's my point. Femi, when assailed quite rightly by lots and lots of objectors and protesters on Twitter and Facebook, who said, hang on a second, you know, you're telling people don't pay for adverts on this channel, shut this channel down, it hasn't even opened yet. He said, well, it's about freedom of speech.
Yes.
I've got freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of choice, so I'm free to do this. Oh, but GB News isn't free to broadcast.
No,
then.
I know.
I mean, the hypocrisy of it and the insanity of it. And a man, you know, like I had a bit of time for Femi in the past because although I didn't agree with him to say the least, he always had lots and lots of facts. He studied his subject and didn't, you know, he didn't often come across as that insane. What he's doing now, what he's doing now is absolutely insane.
I guess who's joined his crusade? Do you know who else has joined his crusade? The Fox killer, Julian Moron. He was in support
it's the whole
of
Fox
the
thing, isn't
yeah.
it, going on?
Well, apparently he actually with that, this is when you know a man has absolutely no sense of irony or self-awareness. He actually tweeted out that it was the cause of Fox News that made America erupt into violence over the US election. And the idea that the guy who killed a fox in his backyard with a baseball bat while wearing his wife's kimono would actually put Fox News in any tweet. But I mean, you can tell that this guy is a moron.
These people, they are the enemies of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
I mean,
even we know that.
Andrew Neil, you know, GB News, and by the way, where we are, UK TV News, News UK, the company we work for, is going to put up a rival channel. And, you know, I wish all of them great success.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more journalistic outlets there are, the more discussion there is, the better a country this is going to be. Don't shut people down.
No.
Even if GB News said, we are going to be a right-wing news station. By the way, you're not allowed to in this country because of Ofcom.
There are regulations.
There are regulations.
I mean,
but even if it said that, why not? Why not?
Well, it's been a great advert for GB News because, like all things, you know, we assume everybody knows about this stuff because we work in the media.
Yeah.
There's a lot more people now who didn't know it was happening who now do know it's happening.
And you know what? Well, it's giving jobs to young journalists.
Yeah.
In the teeth of the worst recession we're ever going to face, and what is wrong with that?
And it, well, also, it's giving vent to you know, a place where there can be more public debate.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong? Yeah, but why also, would they want to shut this
because
down?
Because these are the same people who don't think. I mean, Peter Hitchens and I have discussed this many times. They don't just want you not to have the opinion. They don't want you to be able to share the opinion. So if you've got that opinion, you shouldn't be allowed to actually espouse it or publicise it or talk about it.
So liberal freedom of speech only happens if you agree with what they say.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they'd be all for it if it was a left-wing.
Oh, of course they would. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, The Guardian, bizarrely, was one of the top sort of cheerleaders for this because one of their writers, I think it was Marina Hyde, who first wrote about the fact that GB News was going to poison the well of public debate in this country. Which is pretty rich coming from The Guardian.
Do not,
you know,
it's not
make,
all bias.
No.
Do not make the mistake of conflating right-wing politics with hate. The real hate in politics comes from the left.
Well,
look at Corbyn and his mob.
Yeah.
Look at Momentum.
Yeah.
Those are the hate merchants, not the right-wingers.
Exactly right. Now, speaking of hate merchants, I'm going to nominate a man that I've nominated many times before, and he made it onto Plank of the Year, actually, fairly high up the list, Gary Lineker. A man we haven't heard from for a while, but he's managed to do it again. He'll no doubt say in his defence, oh, I was just making a little joke because that's what I do because I'm so whimsical. But you might have noticed the BBC's not on the list this week, but it might be carried over, it might be possible to say, because the TV licence fee, which has been the cause of some debate over the last year probably as to whether over 75 should have to pay it, whether they should be threatened with prosecution if they don't pay it, whether or not the whole charter is going to have to be changed, whether or not certain people like Gary Lineker are paid too much money. Despite all of that, in a, what can only be described as a moment of absolute and utter madness, the BBC has decided to increase the licence fee.
Why would you do that?
By £1.50.
Why would you do that now, when we are where we are?
Yeah, I mean, call me old-fashioned. It might not seem like a lot of money, but why would you do it? £1.50, it goes from £157.50 to £159. And that's going to be from the 1st of April 2021, right? So they tweet this out, right? So as if that doesn't cause enough outrage to people who have had enough and are sick to death of watching all these woke programmes on the BBC that nobody wants. Gary Lineker retweets it, quote tweets it, and says this, but I've just taken a pay cut. I mean,
it was a bit not reading the room, wasn't it?
It really was, because again, I know, I see what you're trying to do, a bit like Lord Faulkner, trying to give a bit of, you know, sort of humour to the situation. But this is not the time, Gary, I'm afraid, to make out that you're making a joke about prices going up for people who haven't got any money, given that you are a multimillionaire living in a very comfortable lifestyle on television whenever you like and with several contracts coming out of your ears. I mean, it's just not the right thing to do.
Astonishing story this weekend. Sunday Mirror splashed on it, quite rightly for once. 750,000 pensioners over 75s are just not paying their licence.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's been, you know, after 20 years of over 75s having free TV licence, quite right too, the BBC viciously reimposed this fee.
Although, to be fair to the BBC, they were told to do it by the government, weren't they?
No.
So that's what
well, they didn't have to do
their
it.
Defense. They didn't have to.
No, they weren't. No. They said there was no way out that they'd have to do it.
Yeah.
They were not ordered. They didn't have to do
I'm
it.
Just trying to show a bit of uncharacteristic
fairness.
No,
we're not going to be fair to the BBC because the BBC's been outrageous.
I apologise unreservedly.
So 750,000, they think maybe as many as a million over 75s have refused to pay their licence.
So that's 159 million quid they're out.
They're all saying, come and get me.
Yeah.
Find me, send me to prison, see how that looks.
Right.
And that's put a £120 million hole in the BBC's finances. Mm-hmm. More and more people are not paying their licence.
I'm getting that sense all the time.
And instead of putting the licence fee up, they should be thinking about seriously reducing it, because the more they dig their heels in about this anachronistic TV licence, the less it is going to last.
Yes, I agree with
that. Well, you know that they pay their executives £37.5 million
a year.
No, the average BBC executive is on £148,000 a year. The average earnings of BBC employees is £45,000 a year. Meanwhile, across the rest of the UK is £24,000.
I was going to say, that's
really
roughly twice, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
really,
I mean, I've mentioned this guy before, Ken Macquarie.
£325,000
for being in charge of diversity and bias. Yeah. Yeah. On the news.
And Tim Davey, the new Director General, I've got to stop calling him the new Director General there.
He's been doing it a while now,
hasn't
he?
He's made a mess of it already, so give him credit where it's due. He said last week, Netflix might be doing all right, but you know, it costs you 150 quid a year for Netflix, and if we were on the open market, the BBC would have to charge at least £420. Okay, do it then.
Yeah.
Try it.
See how many people actually
buy it. Exactly.
People do not want to pay £157.50, let alone £159, and they would never pay 400 quid plus in a month of Sundays. But I don't believe that the BBC does give particularly good value for money.
No.
What is it that's so great about it? What is it that is so much better than Netflix or ITV?
Well,
or
the
Channel
thing is,
4?
I mean, people are used to using the BBC in their own particular way. For example, some people like Radio 1, some people like Radio 2, some people like Radio 3. And you sometimes go onto these different radio stations and listen to them for 5 minutes, but you don't listen for very long.
No.
And if they weren't there, I wouldn't really miss them.
No, and we're talking our generation. We're talking the older generations. We're not talking youngsters, because they're not watching the BBC.
They're all watching YouTube. Unfortunately,
exactly.
That's free, by the way. Yeah. So as far as the BBC is concerned, they are barking up the wrong tree.
We're on YouTube.
And Gary Lineker, I think, really ought to be ashamed of himself. And if he had any kind of brains and or kind of feelings of remorse, he would take it down. But
I had a guy on from the representing from what they call the Silver Trust or something. The campaigners for the over 75. Guy came on my show at the weekend, and he says, "Well," he said, "apart from anything else," he said, "you know, why are we being punished? Why are we being told to pay our licence fees after 20 years when they're paying Gary Lineker £1.75 million to say play the Diagonal Bull on Match of the Day? It's ridiculous."
I know. It really is. And it's not as if he works his socks off, is it? He's not even on it for most of the year.
Yeah,
Dawn, what's your number three?
Right, my number three. These are all a bit linked today, aren't they? Right, this is the United Nations, and this is UN Women, which is a group designed to empower and fight for equality for women. So you would have thought...
You thought they'd be in favour of women then.
Absolutely, meant to quite like women.
Yeah,
In any case, you know, you would have thought they'd be, you know, fighting for, you know, young women around the world being raped, enslaved, beaten, abused, murdered, treated as second-class citizens,
et cetera.
In any case, they tweeted this week that eight times in one tweet, eight lines, there is no wrong way to be a woman. Now, we all know, us women... what that means, what that implies, is being a woman is all inclusive. In other words,
anyone can be a woman.
Anyone can be a woman. And I made the big mistake of tweeting that. As a woman, there's no wrong way to be a woman, but I'm suggesting having a penis and testicles sort of isn't probably the right way to go about it. Mm. Oh, my Lord.
Was that the beginning
of
being brought down?
Like the touch paper and stand back. I mean, that really, really kicked off. And I've been threatened with a bit of light rape.
Goodness gracious.
By another woman.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a woman with obviously a penis. Yes. So yeah, that was an interesting experience. I know. So it has gone mad, but it is like. Look, I get, you know, I get that.
But it's more wokery, isn't it?
It's more wokery. And why aren't they out there fighting for women who are really, really suffering? Why has it turned into a political woke campaign to fight for something that most ordinary women, really, we just want to get on with our lives.
And be left alone.
Yeah. And so, obviously, there is a wrong way to be a woman, and I prove that by actually being a woman. Daring to answer back and point out that, you know, possibly.
But also, people get so angry about this stuff. I
know. Oh my God, they're so angry. And all I want, look, I, you know, you go to the gym.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman, though.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Apparently,
well, if you've got a penis.
It's a good song.
But all I want is to go into my changing room in the gym and not be confronted by a naked woman with you know, the boy bits.
Yes.
That's all I want.
I mean, it's different if you're in Germany, obviously, because they kind of just have mixed changing rooms there, and you just have to, what you see is what you get.
Yeah, but if I'm going into a mixed changing room, I expect to see that. But I'm not.
No, of course.
But it's turned into this.
It's a very toxic argument,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it's turned into trans Trumps. Mm. It's like, you know, a trans person's rights trump a biological woman's rights. And I'm not even sure if that's the correct phraseology. Mm. But I would just like to say to the
cis
UN women.
Woman.
Yeah, what? I mean,
I've never known about what that is.
Cis woman is a woman.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go away. I mean, so UN women,
cis man as well. Cis
fight
male.
For equality properly. You know, like I'm suffering here with these two talking over me, being boys, you know, mansplaining everything. So,
cis off.
fight for women and look after the young girls that are really suffering around the world.
Yes, I think that's a very good sentiment and very well said.
Thank you.
It's my turn, I think, isn't it? So, no, it's your turn, Kevin. Sorry, your third one.
Right, in the spirit of, you've come up with a few people who aren't particularly famous, but have been particularly plankish.
Yes.
So, in that spirit, I've come up with someone called Siobhan Benita.
Oh, yes.
She's some sort of former high-up, high-ranking civil servant who now works in the field of political campaigning.
Oh, yeah.
And she got about like 18,000 followers, so she's not the type.
Oh, so she's sort of middling Twitter.
Yeah, she's a middling pundit type person. Mm. She tweeted a big picture of her. She called it a black passport. Actually, it's dark blue.
Dark blue.
Maybe she's colorblind.
Yeah. My new black passport has just arrived. I will hate this document until the day it expires. Hashtag Brexit shambles.
Dear me, about people being angry.
It's a passport, love.
It's a passport.
Don't worry, you can't go anywhere for a while, so you don't have to look at it for ages.
And here's the thing, Siobhan, when it expires, you'll have to apply for another one. And guess what? It'll be the same colour.
Yeah, it also won't be
black. So you're going to hate that till it expires. You're going to be a lot of hating in your passport world for the rest of your life.
Why are people getting so worked up about this?
I know.
It's done, it's dusted, move on, get over it. Let's make a success of it as much as we can.
It's my favourite reason for Brexit, to get the old blue passport.
To get the old blue passport back.
Just to annoy people.
But they're
people.
Not actually like the old blue ones, are they? They haven't got the two kind of, you remember they used to have like two little sort of slits in them where you'd have the number and something else.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're not.
Well, no, they're because they're the bendy covers, because in the old days they were, you know.
They were really solid.
Proper cardboard.
They were
with
huge as well. They're the biggest passports
massive,
in the world.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. So presumably it's now the same size as the European one, but it's just a different colour.
I honestly don't give a monkey's what colour my passport is. I just want to be able to use it again.
Well, exactly. You just want to be able to go somewhere with it.
Anyway.
Also, one of the things I'm hoping we can now do again, because I actually missed this when we were in the EU, when you go to places like Italy or France or Spain or Germany, you get a stamp. I want a stamp.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I was
that.
A kid, we used to drive across Europe. And we used to get a stamp in Italy, in France, get one in Luxembourg, get one in Switzerland, Austria, Germany, Italy.
You might have to do it again now, mate.
Well, I think it's great.
I think it's great. You can claim them.
Yeah. And also, the other thing about passport stamps. Yeah, you're right. As kids, you know, please can I have one?
And
then all the nice immigration officers, all right, Sonny, you know. Give
it was
one.
Great.
But they're going to come back into their own, aren't they? Because of the crisis, you know, people are going to want to know where you've been.
That's
so
true.
Maybe passport stamps are going to make a big comeback.
Well, poor old Siobhan, I really do feel for her, because amongst all of the terrible things that are going on in the world at the moment, imagine having to have a passport in a colour you didn't like.
I know.
I will hate this document until the day it expires. Siobhan, get a life.
What happens also? What happens if she expires before the passport? Yeah. I mean, I don't wish to put anything
nasty
out
there. No, that's probably going a bit far.
Is that going too far? Yeah, sorry. I'll take it back, Siobhan.
Yeah, but there's an implication in her angry little tweet that we won't always have to have these passports because we will, of course, rejoin.
We'll rejoin, yes.
At some point.
Good luck with that one.
No, never rejoining.
It's not going to happen.
You've had it.
No, it's definitely not.
You lost.
Maybe she could. You know what I would suggest she could do? And this, you'll like this suggestion, right? Get one of those passport holders, which is a different colour, right?
Who'd have thought of that?
Okay, now you could get a nice expensive one. You go down to Harvey Nicks, get a nice expensive Gucci one, maybe. or maybe, I don't know, an Adidas one. I don't know. But you can cover it up, can't you? And you'll never know what colour it is.
No, absolutely, yeah.
See, I'm full of good ideas today.
That's amazing.
Isn't that good?
It's a positive thinking. I like that.
Very positive.
I like that.
Yeah. So I'll pass that on. Maybe I'll tweet Siobhan later. We were talking about the leader of the Labour Party earlier, and I'm afraid he's back in it. Sir Keir Starmer.
Yeah.
Just when you thought you couldn't actually make it this week, but I'm going all the way back to the day after we made planks last week, because it was Prime Minister's questions, of course, when he made this appearance, and he's getting more and more grumpy, right? And I love the idea that more and more people are now saying, do you know what, Keir Starmer, I'm not sure he's all that, really. I don't think he's that
Liar
clever.
Starmer.
Yeah, and I mean, suddenly he was got at very easily by Boris Johnson, who skewered him not once but twice on the outside of this debate they were having about hotel quarantine, which is another story we might get to next week. But Keir Starmer denied saying something that he'd actually not only said, but had said several times.
Four times.
And it was also recorded in Hansard, which, as everybody knows, is the great record of things that are said, right?
Yeah.
But worse than that was him not remembering what he had said, particularly since he's known as Captain Hindsight. He couldn't remember what he'd actually said a few weeks earlier. He denied it specifically. Then, after the PMQs is over, he gets involved in a sort of skirmish behind the Speaker's chair, where apparently he had to be kind of physically restrained and pulled away from Boris Johnson because Boris Johnson had wound him up so much.
Let's not forget what he denied saying. He denied standing at the dispatch box in the House of Commons four times and saying that Britain must abandon its unilateral vaccine policy and join the EU vaccine rollout
program. We would be better off sticking with
them. So if any of you think that we would have been better under a Labour government throughout this crisis, there's your reason we would not have been.
Yeah.
We'd have been tied up to Ursula von der Leyen in a complete mess. So, so he denied this in the House of Commons, and to his credit, he had to apologise afterwards because there.
Yeah, but he didn't really apologise, did he?
His apology was, I misheard.
I mean, how can you mishear? I mean, we've all been in the House of Commons. It's a very small chamber.
Yeah.
If you stand where Keir Starmer stands and you sit where Boris Johnson sits, you're not going to mishear that distance away, I'm afraid.
No.
And all this feeds into why all the Labour acolytes, they've had enough.
Yeah.
They think Keir Starmer's rubbish.
Well, I think not only is he rubbish, but also I said this, I've been saying it since the beginning, I've never thought he was any good. I never thought he was particularly clever as a lawyer. I never thought he was particularly good as the Brexit secretary, since he had two different policies, one for where you voted to leave and one for where you voted to remain. And he also then, of course, took over from Jeremy Corbyn. But he hasn't done anything at all.
Come on, that's not fair, Mike. He loves the flag.
Oh, now he does.
He does
love now the flag. He loves the flag
so much that he can't move without at least two flags.
He's got to have one behind
him. Behind him.
Yes, and I mean, unbelievable.
Flag.
Yeah, absolutely. but also, his idea of kind of, you know, asking questions to Boris Johnson that he's already answered, but he hasn't actually bothered to notice that he's answered, is ridiculous.
See, his entire policy in terms of being the opposition, and at first, you couldn't deny it wasn't that bad an idea, and it is this: when your enemy is making mistakes, do not interrupt him. So the government was in a lot of trouble about the coronavirus and all that, so he just sort of sat back and let them get on with it. Quite sensibly, I think. But through the months, the government's coming into its own. Its vaccine rollout is a triumph. It's looking better politically. I'm very annoyed about not coming out of lockdown. But, Boris is in pretty good states. And it's astonishing. It's astonishing, given the circumstances of this country, that the Labour Party and Keir Starmer are below Boris Johnson and the Tory Party in the popularity.
It really is.
That's no mean feat.
No, it's quite an achievement.
Well, I think people are seeing through them as well. And the other bit of news this week was about their Labour and the introducing a civil award, getting rid of the gong system.
Oh, yeah.
So there was no sirs, so Keir Starmer will have to cancel himself.
He'll have to
himself.
Give his away then, will he?
Yeah.
He's got his, he's not interested
he's got
anymore.
His, he's all right, pull up the ladder. He's all right. You know, abolishing the Victoria Cross for you know, people
well,
in the armed
forces. Well, because it's a bit too close to the slavery
yeah,
age,
absolutely.
Or
and MPs no longer have to swear an oath of allegiance to the Queen. But hey, we've got a flag.
Yeah. No, this was when it came out that he once wanted to abolish the monarchy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though.
Why don't we just abolish the Labour Party?
No, well, I stopped taking them seriously when they start shouting at tea bags.
Yeah.
Right. Here's what they should do with the honours system. Keep it going, but ban politicians like Keir Starmer and Boris Johnson from being able to nominate anyone.
Yes.
Well, why did
keep the politicians out of it, and it'll be a perfectly good system.
If he hates it that much, why did he bloody accept it?
Right. Well, because he's a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the Labour Party.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, sorry.
Come on. Smart up.
Because he's got sugar.
Now, we've got our nine, I think.
Have we?
I think I'm going to choose my favourite one of yours, Dawn. So
okay.
Give me your three, please.
Mine were the Reverend Jawa Robinson Brown.
Yes.
They were the UN Women's Group.
Yes.
And Royal Husband, Mike Tyndall.
Oh, I think it's got to be Mike Tyndall,
isn't
it?
Mike shoo-in. Absolute shoo-in.
Mike Tyndall.
Definitely.
Right. Kevin, suggest yours to Dawn.
Mine were Green Daily, Gormless Green Daily Express editor Gary Jones.
She's not going to pick him.
Yeah, you're not going to choose that, are you?
I
because
might.
Because you want to suck up to the Express Group newspaper.
Hello.
Because you write a column
well,
in the sister
paper.
She writes
for a rival paper.
I'll tell
it's
you.
A rival paper. It's a very good paper.
I'll tell you what's a great column. It's Robbie Savage's mum in the Mirror.
Oh, really?
Every Saturday. Absolute must.
Oh, I haven't read that.
Absolute must not read.
No.
So we've got, why is that in there? Why is that in the paper? Right, so yes, Gary Jones. And then Femi Amawulu for his opposition to GB News and telling advertisers not to advertise with it when it hasn't even breathed a breath on telly yet. Outrageous. An affront to freedom of speech and expression. And finally, Siobhan Benito.
Oh, yes.
The hater of her black or her blue passport, a document that she's just received that she will hate until it expires, when she'll have to apply for another one and hate that till it expires as well. So those are my three.
Go on then.
I'm going to go for Passport Bird.
Passport
Sorry.
Woman?
Yeah, Passport Woman, absolutely. Right. Can I call her a bird?
No.
Yeah, no.
No, that you can.
Sorry. Anyway,
I get your hate mail on Twitter again.
A lot of people
stupid.
Disappointed you didn't pick Femi, though, I have to say. But that's
no,
right.
I know there will be, but I you know,
right.
I sort of like Femi's got.
Well, you're in charge, mate.
You've got a soft spot.
You're in charge,
Femi,
mate.
You
put Femi back in.
Femi was the reason we went viral.
That's
I mean,
true.
I had a particular eye roll, and it's on there forever now.
It's
over
good.
Femi.
I still watch it every now and then.
I know.
Just to keep.
Yeah,
that's just weird.
It's really good.
It is really good.
It's just weird.
Right, my three: Gary Lineker, Lord Falconer, and Sir Keir Starmer.
It's tough, but I think because the BBC is getting this so wrong, and Gary Lineker is symptomatic, is part and parcel of why the BBC is getting everything wrong. Mm. I'm going to go for Gaza.
I think Gary Lineker, he's always a good one for the top three, it has to be said, because he's the guy everybody loves to hate, even though he thinks a lot of people like him. So, the three, Gary Lineker, Mike Tyndall, Passport Woman. That's quite a tough choice, actually. I mean, I would say Passport Woman drops out into third place.
Yeah, I agree
but
with that.
But you may
that
differ.
That made me laugh. It was like Butter Woman the other week.
Yes.
I mean, you
but
know.
Butter Woman didn't win, though, did
no,
she?
No, no, no. But, I mean, it's quite fun to
yes.
get your knickers in a twist about
it
something.
Yeah,
like
we
want
to know why you didn't have the guts to nominate Gary Jones.
Daily Star columnist.
Maybe
my
Gary
sister
Jones
paid
will write
that
about
good column.
He might write about you if you're not careful. Yeah. Now. Well, all right. Well, so do you think we should keep Passport Woman in the mix?
No, that's John's choice. Seriously, I'm just being funny.
No, it's not. No, no, it's our choice as to what we do.
Oh, well, I'm
are you with me?
Look, Gary, it's like I say, Gary's an old friend of mine. It's just a purely professional criticism I have of him.
I thought you meant
so
Gary Lineker.
I would go, personally, I think Femi should be right up there.
Well, you know, I don't mean that. We've picked the three, though.
We've
picked the three already. We're not going back on that.
Well,
get
why
out
not?
Of yourself.
No, because you don't. We've already picked the three. The three are Passport Woman, Mike
rules.
Tyndall, and Gary Lineker.
Well, it's going to have to be Tyndall for me.
Tyndall to win.
Yes.
Tyndall to win.
Yes.
Bank of the week. That
yes.
suits me, actually. So I would
it's not
put,
a competition, Dawn.
I
we always
pick,
give you the easy
no,
ones.
No, but she loves it. Gary Lineker second, and Passport Woman, I think, third.
All right.
Or are you going to argue that as well?
No.
I'm not. He was the
Kick your passport winner out. Give it to Femi.
I've won.
Femi fourth.
I've won.
Femi can be fourth. Fourth. We'll put Femi fourth. So, there we are. It's a great story today in The Sun. We have decided to pick Mike Tindall as Plank of the Week. Congratulations. I'm sure you'll enjoy swimming around in your private swimming pool at Gatcombe Park while remembering that this great award is yours and yours alone. We'll see you next week. Thank you, guys. This is Plank of the Week.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.